This was just a spray hitter, and he pulled the ball down the line, which even the power hitters don't do very often against Maddux.
Well hit left field. I don't know if the park will hold it. It will not. And it's 4-0. Orlando Cabrera gets his season started nicely. A two-run jack. And a rough outing for Maddux. He's thrown for the cycle. A single, a double, a triple, and now a homer.
A big inning like this, very rare off Greg Maddux at any time during the year. But what a confidence booster this has to be for Montreal, jumping on someone like Maddux with this kind of a first inning.
Happy opening day to all those who celebrate a first day of the schedule in Major League Baseball. I play that clip from 2003, 21 years ago. That's the Expos beating up on the Atlanta Braves. They won that game 10-2. And I'll never forget that day because I was watching. You know, do you guys know Jason Devine? A good friend who works across the street there at CTV Montreal. This is a true story. Jason Devine is the guy that's responsible for me getting my job with the Expos. I worked PR for the Expos for three seasons. The last three seasons, they were in existence. And he called me days before the 2002 baseball season. And we'd known each other from, you know, leadership camps in high school and that kind of thing. He gives me a call. He's like, hey, you want to come work for the Expos? I said, what do you mean? He goes, oh, there's a job in media relations. I know you love baseball. So I showed up for an interview the next day, answered two questions. Are you available for 6 months? Do you know how to score baseball? And I ended up getting the job and was employed in media relations. And it was a year after that opening day, Jason's like, hey, I got, you know, it was back in the day where people had the quote unquote illegal, the gray market satellite dishes. So he's like, come over for opening day. I will never forget watching the opening day in 2003 on Park Avenue in a great apartment in Park Avenue and enjoying the start of the baseball season. If you still follow baseball, a happy opening day to you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I did not expect for this this series of segments that we've been doing on the show to take off in a way that it has. You know, in light of everything we know about Olympic Stadium, right, and the government's going to spend almost $1 billion on a new roof, that they say it would cost $2 billion to demolish the stadium, we've been looking at the decisions made by other cities. And this segment has taken off because I'm getting text messages. I'm getting Facebook messages. I'm getting Twitter X messages. And over here at 514-800, a text line, got a text message the other day as we were doing a segment on one of the other cities we've covered. We've covered Atlanta. We've covered Philadelphia. We've covered Seattle. And Dave sent me a text message. Dispatch Dave. He sends a text message. He goes, Elias, I lived in Pittsburgh. I was at the demolition of Three Rivers. You should cover that one next. And I said, Dave, he's got a point. We've invited Dave to come on the show. He's on the line. Dispatch Dave, how you doing?
Good morning, Elias, and congratulations on your fatherhood.
Oh, thank you so much. That's very nice. Dave, why'd you say, hey, I got to reach out to the show here? I want to tell my story about Three Rivers in Pittsburgh. Why'd you reach out to us?
Well, there were two points that you've discussed in a bunch of the stadiums that you've been comparing that sort of struck home with me with regards to Three Rivers. One of them was the fact, like I think you talked about Atlanta, how close it was or above a metro line. That was one thing. But the other thing as well is Three Rivers Stadium, for those who may recall, I mean, I know that we're going back in time here to the Terry Bradshaw years and stuff of the Steelers, but Three Rivers Stadium is a lot like Rogers Stadium in the sense that it's one of those, what they call those donut kind of dome stadiums. And it had a capacity of 59,600 seats for Pirates and Steelers games and 65,900 for concerts. So it's a lot more comparable to the Olympic Stadium in terms of capacity. Mm-hmm. And yet they did it there for a lot less than $2 billion. And so I felt that it was important to compare apples to apples, and so, I figured that would be a good idea.
So Dave, here's what we're going to do. I want to play some audio here. I want to play some coverage. This was a look back done by a local Pittsburgh affiliate, WPXI. Let's listen to their coverage. Just about a minute and a half of coverage here. And then I want you to break the news to our listeners on the demolition and that kind of thing. Okay, so have a listen to this.
On February 11th, 2001, people crowded the riverbanks and hillsides overlooking Three Rivers Stadium. For three decades, the multipurpose facility had been home to the Pittsburgh Steelers and Pittsburgh Pirates, sending both teams on to claim victories in Super Bowls and World Series. But after the so-called Plan B financing deal was approved in 1998, both teams began construction of a new dedicated facility. Three River Stadium was scheduled for demolition, and auctions were held where fans could buy pieces of the turf, seats, signs, and other memorabilia. Stripped of everything but its history, the home of the Immaculate Reception finally crumbled into dust, dropping in sections during a 19-second controlled implosion. Channel 11 was the only station to place cameras inside the stadium during the demolition, capturing the massive concrete structure as it toppled onto its former field. Amazingly, all five cameras stashed inside the stadium survived the demolition. Demolition engineers were equally grateful that Heinz Field, which sat only 60 feet away from Three River Stadium, was undamaged during the implosion. With Three Rivers flattened, construction and cleanup dominated the North Shore as crews raced to prepare Heinz Field and PNC Park for the upcoming seasons. PNC Park opened with great fanfare and acclaim a little over a month later at Heinz Field in August of that year. The only vestige of Three Rivers that remains is a monument in the parking lot where Franco Harris made his famous catch.
There you go, the coverage from WPXI in Pittsburgh. Dave, why don't you tell our listeners how much that demolition cost in that city?
Well, let's save the punchline for the end. I think the key in that audio clip that was important was the fact that not only did they build two stadiums around it at the same time, which, by the way, only took 2 years to build, but Heinz Field, for people who may know what it is, a lot of people have seen Batman, The Dark Knight Rises. That's where Heinz Ward from the Steelers was running down the field and the field was collapsing behind it. That's Heinz Field, yeah. It's one of those open-air steel beam type stadiums where it's mostly glass on the outside. And so that caused a concern for a lot of people. They're like, okay, well, this thing, and my information showed it was only 80 feet, not 60, but I'll go with 60 since that's better. But the point was that the demolition company that did it discovered afterwards, they were able to confirm that there was no debris that hit Heinz Field within 12 meters of the building. So that's how controlled it was. So 60 minus 12. If they can do that, I'm sure they can do that above the metro line in Montreal. So.
And that's the thing, right? They, again, other cities have pulled it off. Dave, let me just ask you this. Montreal boy ends up in Pittsburgh. Now you come back. Tell me a little bit about that in your time in Pittsburgh.
Well, prior to 2000, I was in the telecommunications domain. I was working for the predecessor of what became TELUS, a ClearNet company, the one with the walkie-talkie microphone. Yes. And when TELUS bought it out, I lost my job. I had a job opportunity waiting for me at AT&T Plus Love. So since all the stars were in alignment, I went down to Pittsburgh. And then after the 9/11 events, I switched over to the public safety domain, becoming a 911 dispatcher, which is what I've been doing since then. Wow. Now I'm currently working for the SQ, keeping an eye over the Shawcartsy Bridge.
My goodness. Dave, do you miss Pittsburgh?
I miss the games. I don't miss the air and I don't miss the water. But I do miss the sights. In fact, Elias, I don't know if you can confirm this. I know the urban myth going around in Pittsburgh was that at the time when the Expos were thinking of building the new stadium across from the Dow Planetarium at the corner of St. Jacques and Peel Street, across from, that they actually came to Pittsburgh and they looked at both Heinz Field and PNC Park. PNC Park is a beautiful park.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It faces the Allegheny River, and you see the downtown lines. And just like when Barry Bonds hits home runs and stuff, you'd have every game, you'd have boats in the river trying to catch the ball that comes out.
Listen, I've only spent a day in Pittsburgh, and I went to the Warhol Museum, and I went to March Madness at the arena they got there. Great food and everything. It was just a spectacular time. Pittsburgh is a gem, a jewel of a city. And
that was my favorite part of PNC Park. There was a section in the mid-level where you could actually buy, because most of the idea behind PNC Park, knowing that they would never be able to draw players like the Yankees would, is that they had to keep the prices low. So you could get an outfield seat for we're talking about 2010 at this point, for like $17. Or in the 200 section, you can get a family seat for $49, and that included all you can eat, all the hamburgers, all the desserts. The only thing that wasn't included was beer. To that several times, and imagine if a game got canceled like in the fifth inning, well, you get a refund ticket for the next game. So it was really beautiful, a sight to see, and I think that's why the Expos were interested in it as an idea for Labatt Stadium. But coming back to your question, what was the bill?
Yeah.
$5.1 million. Now, this is in 2001, but still.
Well, that's $9 million today. I mean, $5 million then is about $9 million.
Here's the $700 million that the CAC is saying so they can give the contract to one of their buddies. So.
My goodness. hey, listen, Dave, thanks for reaching out to us. Thanks for your insights on the demolition they did. And you witnessed it. You watched the demolition, right?
Yeah, I was on the mountain. I was on Mount Washington across the river, but you can see down below they have what's called the Gateway Clipper, which is like a, if you think of the Mississippi steamboats and stuff, they have those kind of boats that go in the river and stuff. And it was a whole event. I mean, it was like St. Patrick's Day. Everyone was watching us, and it was incredible to watch. So.
Dave, terrific.
And they even had fireworks afterwards.
Because and that's the thing. All of these other cities, they viewed it as a celebration because better things were coming. Dave, we've got to leave it there. I appreciate that you know the art of the tease and holding back the info. Really appreciate that. You might have a career in radio. Dave, thanks for reaching out.
Thanks.
That's one of our listeners, Dave, who was in Pittsburgh when that city made the decision to blow their stadium up.